We start each week in our Sunday school class, we put our name and a special prayer request on a piece of paper, and we swap it, and we have a prayer partner for that week. And so last night at church, one of the young men from the class, he said, "Brother Larry, it's 6:30 tomorrow night. I'm going to call all the class members, and we're going to be praying for you at 6:30. That was an encouragement. And then tonight I looked over and I saw four of our members walk in. That was a really encouragement. And I'm going to deal with that subject tonight in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Because I believe we're living in a day and time that if we as sound, independent Baptists, and put all the other adjectives and descriptions in front of it that you wish, if we as brothers and sisters in Christ don't wake up to the reality of our great need of each other, we're going to self-destruct. We need to realize that conferences like this is a time to where we can forget the pressures of home. And let me say this, I am now pastor of the Richland Baptist Church, and certainly what a privilege I consider that to be, and I thank the Lord for that church. But you know, even pastors, sometimes we need to be fed. We need to go and be with brothers and sisters in Christ that they may not dot I's and cross T's just like we do, but we're still sound Baptist pastors, and we're all trying to do a work for God as God leads us. And we come together, we put aside, you know, the daily responsibilities as a pastor, and we come here, we hear preaching, we hear singing, we enjoy fellowship to where we're able to go back to our churches and do a better work for the glory of the Lord. I think that's what we need in these latter days, because certainly we realize in the last days is going to be perilous times. And we need each other. We need, and I'm going to show you tonight from the Word of God, it is biblical that we encourage one another. Now look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And I want you to notice, it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Now the word "consider" is to understand fully and to think about. In other words, for me to encourage you, I need to get to know you. I need to understand a little bit about you. I need to know something of what you're going through. I need to be able, when I go back home, to stop and ponder and think about brother so-and-so and pray for him and encourage him, that I might would even sometime give him a phone call and say, "Hey, I'm thinking for you," or "thinking about you." But notice, understand fully, or to think about, and then to provoke. That means to stimulate. That means to motivate. That means to encourage. In other words, it is a ministry, the ministry of encouraging one another in our work for the Lord. The devil is not going to encourage us. The devil is going to seek to defeat us. The devil is going to seek to put us in the corner of nowhere and help us or cause us to think that we're the only one contending for the faith. But when we come together in Bible conferences, we're able to encourage one another to go back home and to do what God has called us to do, to pastor our churches, to lead our people into a way that they need to go for the glory of God. Amen? That's to provoke, to encourage. Now, isn't it true, that oftentimes when we think of ministry, we think of a pastor. Well, he's a minister. That is a true statement. But still, he is a minister in the strictest sense of the word. But all too often, we forget that each child of God has a ministry to do. Amen. Not just the pastor. Amen. Every member of that body has a ministry to do. Amen. Now, I want you to notice something, and I would pronounce this lady's name. Some of you might would know her if I could pronounce it, but just an illustration. The name is Jean, I call it Nitech, N-I-D-E-T-C-H. She was a 214-pound homemaker, desperate to lose weight, went to the New York City Department of Health, where she was given a diet devised by her doctor. 2 months later, discouraged about the 50-plus pounds still to go, she invited six overweight friends home to share the diet and talk about how to stay on it. Today, 28-plus years later, More than a million members attend 25,000 Weight Watcher meetings in 24 countries every week. Why was she able to help people take control of her life? When she was asked, here's the answer. To the answer, she tells a story. When she was a teenager, she used to cross a park where she saw mothers gossiping while the toddlers sat on their swings with no one to push them. I'd give them a push, she says. And you know what happens when you push a kid on a swing? Pretty soon he's pumping and doing it himself. That's my role in life, that's my role in life, and that is I'm there to give a push. I'm not going to ask how many people here go to Weight Watchers. I might would get in trouble. But you know what? That's one of the things that Bible conferences and brothers and sisters in Christ fellowshipping together is that we give each other a push. Amen. That we just give each other a push. Instead of sitting on the sideline and gossiping, and can I be nitpicky?
Sure.
Preachers are some of the worst gossipers I've ever met in my life. We need to realize gossip does not build up a brother and sister in Christ. Gossip is cheap, and preachers are as guilty as anybody. That does not edify. That does not provoke unto love. That does not encourage. That does not cause a pastor to have a greater desire to serve God. It causes him to withdraw and become scared and become afraid and an introvert. And you know why I say that? I have been there. We need to realize. We preach, we're living in the last days. That's the case. We need to realize more than ever, we need each other. You don't have to believe just like I do. You can be wrong. But you know what? I've learned something since I was in college. I'm just not as smart as I thought I was. And I'll tell you something else I've learned in the last 10 to 15 years of my ministry. Just how smart I am not. The more I study the Bible, the more I realize how little I know about the greatness of my God. The more I study the Bible, the more unworthy I feel to stand before a people and try to proclaim the message of God's Word. And we need to realize there's people that don't know everything we do. Give them a break. Don't sit on the line sideline and did you know they don't dot their I like I do? You go over and you encourage him and love him to the truth. Isn't that right, Brother Garner? He come to school one time. He was going to teach us that we were wrong on doctrines of grace. Whew. Did he ever get an education? You know what? He was loved to the truth. Isn't that what we need to do, brothers and sisters in Christ? Don't we sometimes nitpick preachers to death? And the ones that are already struggling want to crawl in a hole somewhere and just quit. Look at how many young preachers there are today. How many young pastors are there today to fill the shoes of men like Brother Clark who is sitting back there in the back? How many men are in the ministry today that are falling to the wayside because they get discouraged? And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my ministry I've been so discouraged that I would have to look up to see the belly of the whale laying on the bottom of the lowest part of the ocean. And brethren, you probably have been there too. We need each other. We are to provoke. We are to consider. We're to think about. And as God puts someone on your heart, give them a call. And let them know I'm praying for you. This woman, 28 plus years later, 25,000 Weight Watchers, 24 countries every week because she gave some kids a push. And in this case, she encouraged people to lose weight. Why do they have Weight Watchers? To go there and to encourage each other to keep off what they lose. Why can't we as Baptists do that? Amen?
Right.
We all could probably lose a little bit of weight, but we need to maintain a desire of encouragement to glorify God and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For the next while, I want us to look, and I'm going to watch the clock, I promise. Let's go to the Bible, and I've got it in my notes too, for purposes of time. Moses was an encourager. When the Lord would not let Moses take Israel into Canaan, he instructed Moses to appoint Joshua as the leader of that great nation. God said this to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Listen to this. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Encourage him with the promise of divine presence with him. Joshua, God is going to go with you. He'll give you the victory. He will give you the courage that you need. He will give you the success that you need. He will enable you to settle the people in the land that God has promised them. What did Moses do? He encouraged the younger one who was taking his place. I'm not as young as I used to be, and some of you are older than I am. Even Brother Jerry.
Yes.
Who are we encouraging? Who are we encouraging by example and by word and by deed and our attitudes? Who are we encouraging to fill in the slots when us older people fall off the scene through death or health? I think as independent Baptists, we failed each other. We have been so busy dotting I's and crossing T's, we forget that we have not been as smart as we are now. And we fail to encourage those who are following behind us.
Amen.
We're going to die, brethren, unless the Lord comes back. And who are we encouraging to pick up and carry on the work that many brethren have died in the pulpit doing? Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, it says, But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Joshua would get to lead where Moses was allowed only to look. Moses was to rejoice in Joshua's success and blessing and encourage him. Now, I want you to listen to this, and I'm not trying to be facetious, and I'm not trying to be rude, but I want you to notice something that Moses did not do. He did not criticize him. He did not degrade him. He did not damage his reputation, but he encouraged him. I called a preacher one time, Brother Forrest Keener. Some of you know him. He was a man that I've known for many years, and I just wanted to call him and say, Brother Keener, I want to thank you for the kind of man that you are. You are truly a gentleman. You are a man that preaches the sovereignty of God as strong as anyone. And you are a man that exercises missions and human responsibility as much as anyone I know. I said, you are a good Baptist. He said, Larry, I get phone calls and tells me I'm a hard shell. And then I get phone calls and tell me I'm an Armenian. I say, well, you must be a pretty good Baptist. But don't we do that? Don't we tag people?
Yeah.
Don't we label people? Why don't we quit that foolishness and realize the reason that God has saved us is to encourage those who come beside us, come in contact with us, those who will come behind us, that they might pick up and go on and do the work of the Lord that God has called them to do. I thank the Lord for people who have encouraged me. I thank the Lord for those men who were tolerant of me when I thought I knew everything and I didn't know hardly anything. I'm thankful for those people who encouraged me. We need to encourage now. We need to encourage now. We're prone to save the kind words we feel in our hearts toward one another until they're dead, and then we'll say it over their dead body. What good does that do?
Amen.
We need to encourage. And certainly this is proper if kind words are deserved and sincere, but it would not encourage or strengthen your dead friend or your family member. I think there are some men that have preached the word of God for years, and sometimes we forget to say thank you for setting the standard. Thank you for contending for the faith. Thank you for being an example, a godly example that I can follow in the footsteps for. I'm going to tell you something, and I was thought of it, and I put on my jacket. Back 30 years ago, if I remember correctly, and I have a tendency to forget, I saw a preacher that put his glasses like that. I picked it up. I admired the man. And you say, well, that don't mean anything. Yeah, but I admired what he preached too.
Amen.
He's sitting on the back seat back there. We need to say thank you, brother.
Amen.
We need to stop critiquing each other to the point of detriment and start saying, I appreciate what you've done.
Amen.
Thank you for what you've done. Appreciate what you're going through. Man, I support you by your prayers. And even listen at this. And I'm going to sidestep preachers for a minute. Husbands, how many times do we actually encourage your wives to be a better wife? I knew a pastor, a man one time. He said, I told her, when we got married, that was enough. And they've been married for 45, 50 years. You know what? We're living in a day and time to where we all need some encouragement.
Amen. Amen.
Husbands, tell your wife you love them. Tell your wife that she's beautiful. Tell her that she's special to you. And Jan and I got this little thing that every now and then I'll take and I put her hand on my heart and I said, there it is. That's you, babe. Don't we need to encourage your wives? We're living, if we're not careful, we see everything on the news, it's negative. You read the newspapers, it's negative. We need to encourage each other and say, hey, life is to be enjoyed as a child of God, and we're to encourage each other along the road of life. Wives, how about your husbands? I love to hear my wife say, honey, you sure are handsome. Don't y'all laugh. I'm serious. Was that you, Jim? Don't we all need encouragement? Don't we need to know that we are appreciated?
Amen.
Child to the parents, thanks for the sacrifice that you've made. I sure do love you. My dad's 78 years old, and to this day, I love to hear my dad say, son, I love you.
Amen.
And I love to tell my dad when I see him at the nursing home, Dad, I love you.
Amen.
Don't we need that, brothers?
Amen. Sure,
I remember what Abraham said to Lot. We be brethren.
Yeah.
We be Amen. Brethren. We need to encourage each other. We're brethren. Friend to a friend. Brother and sister in Christ to a brother and sister in Christ. We go to church and somebody's sitting over in the corner and their chin's dropped and we say, what's wrong with them? Don't we?
Yeah.
But what we need to do is go say, hey, I don't know what's wrong, but I'm praying for you. And that's what he's talking about, provoke one another into love. To provoke one another, to encourage one another, to help each other, to become all that we're able to be. Pastor to pastor, what a need today in this sinful world in which we're living for pastors to encourage one another in the Lord's work. I withdrew for many years from going to Bible conferences. Some of the loneliest time in my ministry. We need each other.
Amen.
We need each other. Let me give you an example. I call it a good dog. One morning when a father opened the door to get his newspaper, he was surprised to see a strange little dog with his paper in his mouth. And the father was so excited that he gave the little puppy a little treat. Well, the next morning he went out to get open the door, and there was a dog with 8 newspapers. Get the point? You can get a lot more work out of your people, pastors, if you encourage them instead of crucifying them. Okay?
Yeah.
Just sometimes a church member needs some encouragement, and let the Holy Spirit convict them through the preaching of the word, and let them do a work for God.
Yeah.
Encouragement. I'm not suggesting insincere flattery. Lying is lying, and sin is sin, regardless of the intent. But encouragement is commendable. I want you to notice another thing, too. Encouragement strengthens the work of God. We dare not cut ourselves off from fellowship among brethren, nor should we cut off our brethren without legitimate biblical reasons. A lot of brethren get cut off because their I's are not dotted and T's are not crossed just like we think they should be. Shame on us. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And I'll read this because while you're turning, I'm losing time. But two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow or his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another, or he has no one to help him. Isn't that something? Then a lot of preachers fall to the wayside because there's no one there to help them up. There's no one there. That's Bible. That's not Larry Ellis's opinion. You need your brother, and your brother needs you. The person who does not confess to their need of encouragement is either ignorant of their real need or just will not admit to such a need for fear of being thought weak and wimpy. I need brethren. It's Bible. It's difficult to pull yourself back up when you're floating out there by yourself. We need each other. The ministry of encouragement is enforced in the words of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The stirring up or provoking unto love and good works is the sharpening and stimulating of the spirit of another. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. A good friend encourages you. They will seek to support you to do what you have to do. All of us have things that we must go through that we do not like. That is when we need friends or brother or sister in Christ to help us make it. Let me tell you something. I know my brother gets picked on a lot. But I'll tell you one thing. There's been times when I've called my brother and all he was, if nothing else, was just a listening ear. And I knew whatever I told him in confidence was kept in confidence. Many times when I would sit down and my chin was so low, my heart was so heavy, I'd call my brother. He was there. Don't we need an ear that we can trust to be confidential with what we are sharing with them? All of us have things that we must go through. We need each other as we seek to serve the Lord and stand true to the Word of God. Oftentimes, this does not even require us to say anything. It's simple enough that we're there. Mom sent a little boy to the grocery store to get a loaf of bread. He was gone. He was gone, and he was gone. Finally, he come home. She said, son, where have you been? I just sent you down to the store to get a loaf of bread. Where have you been so long? Well, there was a little boy whose bicycle was broken on the sidewalk when I was coming back home, and I stayed with him. Well, son, you don't know anything about fixing bicycles. "No, Mom, I don't know anything about fixing bicycles," but I cried with him. Isn't that what we need sometimes? Is just somebody to just cry with us. Just somebody to say, "I care." Just somebody to say, "And this too shall pass." Just somebody to encourage us. My, listen, Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. And I want you to turn there and look at this. We chewed this over in our Sunday school class. I tell you, I've never had a Sunday school class that was so alive as the one I've got now. And I want you to look at this. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken..." Well, let's go ahead and read that one too. "If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are..." Look at that word. "Spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I'm going to quote Brother Clark, if I may, again. Didn't know what he was. I was a young preacher. And he used to pray, if I remember correctly, "Lord, never leave me to myself." I didn't understand what he was talking about back then. But I finally realized that if God ever removes his hedge from around us, we could be out in the world and sunk in sin just like anybody else by this time tomorrow. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But it's not. Like one of the students in the class said, "You know, you can go, you can pray with them, you can cry with them, you can encourage them. But when you go home at night and go to sleep, they're still carrying the burden." Amen. We can do so much. We can share it. But when we're gone, it's still every man must bear that one burden, that burden. But I want you to notice God encourages us or encourages through us. Paul was discouraged after writing the first letter to the church at Corinth. He had written a sharp rebuke for their poor conduct. The church profited from the rebuke, as Paul learned later. Yet his heart was troubled because of the necessity to use sharpness with them. He loved them, and we read where he said to them, "For I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and to live with you." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. Or in other words, to die together and to live together. While he was waiting for the report of their reaction to his letter, he came to Troas to preach. The Lord opened the door of opportunity to preach there, but still Paul was concerned. He had hoped to meet Titus there, who was to fill out the attitude of the Corinthians toward Paul. Titus had not arrived at Troas, causing Paul to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, "I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia." Now you listen. The Apostle Paul, in my opinion, is one of the greatest missionaries that's ever walked the face of this earth. But I want you to notice something. His heart was heavy. After arriving in Macedonia and still not finding Titus there, Paul again moaned in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. But thanks to God, he doesn't leave his people cast down for long." He sent comfort to Paul. And you know how he did it? He did it through another man. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6 and 7 says, "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." Amen. "And not by his coming only, but by the consolation or the encouragement wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more." Look at this man.
the outstanding missionary, the Apostle Paul, that proclaimed, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He, this great man, was discouraged and concerned because of the letter he had sent to Corinth. And he kept waiting and kept waiting and kept waiting. And then God sent Titus just in time to say, "All is well." Don't we need that sometimes, brothers? Don't we need that, brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging one another? Because we have enough problems fighting the devil. And even as Abraham said again, we be brethren. And then on top of that, to show you how caring Abraham was when Lot, in my opinion, when he should have saw the hand of God when he was taken and all he had off into captivity, Abraham took his men and went and got him. That's a strong message, isn't it? He gets what he deserves. No, he said, "We be brethren. We be brethren." I want us, as we get ready to conclude, I want you to do a ministry check. How has your ministry of encouragement been lately? You know what it's easy to do? Think about ourselves only. Amen? My church, my people, my ministry, my life. That's not biblical.
Amen.
How long has it been since you've seen a young preacher? And I had a couple in my life that I truly thank the Lord for. They were there. They taught me. He was a friend. I asked him one time, we were together, and this is the way we've been since 72. I asked him, I said, "What in the world do I do about such and such and such and such in this church? They're not such and such and such and such." And he very lovingly says, "Larry, have you taught them?" And you know what he did? He answered my question. I had not taught them, and yet I was criticizing them because they wouldn't do such and such and such and such. We need to realize we need to do a ministry check. How has your ministry of encouragement been? How many of us get so involved with our daily responsibilities that we fail to look around and see others that are hurting? I tell you what, where's Nancy? She's here. You know what? Isn't that awesome? People prayed for her.
Amen.
You say, "Well, chemo and all the other stuff has worked." I still believe that stuff works, but it's God that enabled it to work.
Amen.
I know people who have taken it and didn't work. I tell you what we need to do, and something that's done in our Sunday school class, as I said, we pass out every Sunday, we pass out cards with our names on it, special prayer requests. And you know what that's done? It's drawn us together as a class. We're praying for each other. And when you pray for each other, it's hard to throw stones at them. Amen? Do a ministry check. Standing in the pulpit's easy.
Amen.
Honestly, it is, especially at Richland. I'm having a ball, folks. I'm enjoying the church. It's easy to stand in the pulpit. It's a whole different thing to encourage in the pews. Have you been provoking others unto love or good works? As I told you a while ago, I quit going to Bible conferences for years because I couldn't afford to go to conferences and leave in worse shape than I came.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Bible conferences is when we ought to come together and encourage one another.
Amen.
To do a great work for a sovereign God.
Amen. Amen.
Even Christ did not please himself. He did not live to satisfy his own happiness.
His example of serving and building up others is given to us to stimulate us to the ministry of encouragement. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." As I conclude, we need to encourage one another. We need to practice the ministry of encouragement. I'm not belittling church truths, the doctrines of grace. I'm not belittling the sound doctrines of the Word of God. I love to preach them. I enjoy preaching them. But let us not forget also encompassed in that, in preaching the whole counsel of God's Word, is the ministry of encouraging one another. Fix your attention upon the needs of your brother or your sister. Stir up the one who is falling behind. Encourage them to love and to good works. Pray, then do. Don't forget to pray for your brother, but don't forget also to make yourselves as an instrument of the Lord to help and encourage others. And as I conclude, God, who comforts those who are cast down, may lift them up by using you. May this be a conference that we all leave encouraged. May this be a conference that a couple of years ago, I told Jim, and I skipped it. A couple of years ago, Jim was going through some medical problems back up in where he lived. And when you back up where he lives, it's easy to get down, isn't it? Back up, not a lot of fellowship. And I was sitting over there. I made sure he sat beside of me this time. But man, you all remember a couple of years ago, Brother Short was preaching. And I heard old Brother Rader back there going, started rocking. I knew his cup was getting full. Then after a while, he put his hands on my shoulders. I said, "Oh boy, I don't need an adjustment now." And his hands was on my shoulders and he started saying, "Glory. Glory." Then he took his big old arm and put around my neck. "Glory! Hallelujah!" He almost put me into heaven. But you know what? His cup got full. And that's what a Bible conference ought to be. Where we can come and our cup is empty. Maybe pastors have got troubles back in the church and they got things they got to deal with. Maybe they got problems in their own home. And you come into this place that has been so graciously provided by this church and this pastor. And you come in here and your cup starts getting full. And you can go back home and do the work that God has called you to do. Examine our ministry of encouragement. And may God use us as ministers of encouragement. May God bless his word. Amen.